We will not fear. We will not fear. See, that's what everything that's been talked about today is orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. We're going to Psalms 91. And I heard this as Jim was giving his message. He just kind of brought this out that, you know, his mama, Miss Howard, lived to be, I think he said, about 6 months shy of being 99. She'd been around a while, seen a few things. But he preached her funeral, and he had her Bible. And every preacher likes to, you know, take the Bible and say, find one verse, get with the family that you knew was dear to that person, and share it. It might be one verse, maybe 10 verses. But Miss Howard made it real easy. At the beginning of her Bible, in the front of her Bible, she wrote, "This is my favorite Bible verse." You know what chapter it was? Psalms 91. He said his mama was diligently, every day she read Psalms 91. Every day. That was something she believed in. She probably didn't have to open up her Bible to read it, but she still opened up the Word. But she put it in her heart. Every day. She lived to be almost 99. I believe it done its part. I believe God's Word did its part. Yeah. We're going to take this verse today after I pray, and we're just going to go through it in a timely manner. I think we'll have plenty of time. Turn with me there to Psalms 91. We're going to take this verse by verse. Is that okay? That's 16 verses. 16 verses. Help me now. We will not fear. You got to make a choice. You got to decide that. We could add, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God has given us. Psalms 91, starting in verse 1. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He or she, because we're neither male nor female, right? Unto Christ, we're one. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty. This is a promise of favor and protection to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. This is for those who dwell where? There. In the secret place of the Most High. We don't just visit there, do we, Terry? We stay there. We've got to make a choice to stay there. This is talking about abiding in Christ. For time's sake, I'm not going to take you through all these scriptures, but you can take a note if you need to. John 15:4 talked about those abiding in Christ. A person can be born again without abiding in Christ. You know, a rose bush, once it gives rose and it branches off and it brings forth the fruit, pretty roses smell good. They turn into perfume. The women wear it, makes them smell good. Well, if you go cut that branch off while it's blooming, the rose is going to look good for a while. But tell me, ladies, what's going to happen? It's going to start wither. It's not going to look pretty anymore. That's what happens if Christians don't abide in the vine. See, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Jesus said, without Him, we can't do nothing. Now, we can live. We can breathe because God gave us it. He's not going to take it back. But are we going to live the life that He wants us without fear? We got to stay hooked up to Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. You want peace? Stay in peace. Stay in Christ, the Prince of Peace. You're going to have to resist your flesh. There's a lot of protests going on. Christians, there's times, different times, you could maybe do some protesting, but the main thing we need to do, like Terry talked about, is talk about spending some time in prayer. That's building a relationship with God. And then we go out here, not so much to the White House, we go to every house that will accept us in the community, in our stores, and we preach Christ and Him crucified. In other words, I'm His, and He's mine, and I got something good you need to hear. My body, I got healed last Sunday. See, you got a testimony. See, that's how the church is going to grow. It ain't going to go petitioning the White House. Now, we stand our ground when it comes to morality, but the biggest voice you can have is the voice God gives you to say at specific times, empowered by the Holy Ghost, not by the flesh. The flesh ain't going to profit us nothing. You can sit there and argue with somebody all day, ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. But you let God one word from God, breathed by the Holy Ghost, inspired by you. Speak that word and watch tears come to that person's eyes. God give you something that ministers to the heart, ministers life. It'll bring them. They can either receive it or reject it, but you do what God's called you to do. We got to dwell in the abide in the vine. Abiding in Christ gives us entrance into the protection of the Almighty. The Hebrew word that was translated shadow here is, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, it's spelled T-S-E-L. How's that? And it was translated, I can say this word, defense. Defense. Once in Numbers 14:9 and twice in Ecclesiastes 7:12. Those continually trusting in the Lord, say continuously, will have the Lord to be their defense. We were singing about a shield. To be their shield. If we're dwelling and abiding in Christ. Amen. Verse 2. I will say. Say, I will say. Of the Lord. He is my strength. He is my refuge. And my fortress. My God. Yeah, we write it on our money, but you got to say it. My God, in Him will I trust. I'm not trusting in the United States Treasury. I'm trusting in my provider, Jehovah Jireh.
That's right. Praise God.
To get that treasury to me. He really likes gold. He really didn't create money. He created gold. Pretty stones. He put them in the garden. I need some gold in my garden. Hey, man, I just got a revelation. It was in the Garden of Eden. There was more there than gold. There was more than they needed. There was more in the world. I need my gold in my garden. Translate that. I need money in my checking account. I need money in my savings account. Now, you're going to have to go out there and till, and you're going to have to go out there and work the ground. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. So we got something to do. We got to work the garden. We got to work the promises of God. We got to work for righteousness. Promote righteousness, right? Sell it. We got to sell it, don't we, Cecil? We got to sell righteousness because people, they don't know. They're deceived out here. We got to show them the truth. We got to bring them out of deception by the Word of God. Notice that we have to say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Proverbs 18:20-21 talks about our words release power. Power to either bring life or power to bring death. And I'm not even going to look at y'all and say death out there. Because we don't want death. Jesus is the author of life. That's the author I want to sign my book. And He's already signed it. He's actually already written it. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We're all in between. Amen. The promises of God, I like that, are voice activated. You got a lot of phones out here. You say, Siri. What does she say? I don't talk to her a lot. What does she say, Kelsey? How may I help you? Robert, how may I help you? See, she's waiting on the next command. Come on now. God's word is voice activated. Well, God, I've been struggling here the last 5 years. My checking account's struggling. God says, He told Moses, take off your shoes. Well, what if Moses would have said, Lord, I like these shoes. These are Nike. High tops. Lord, you know how long it takes me to get these laced and tied back on, God? See, don't never debate with God. Amen. Job tried it. The book of Job. Job talked about it. What he thought about God. Well, you start thinking and talking about Him, God will show up. He'll back His word up. Amen. Now, Psalms 91 is in the Old Testament, but it's a promise. It's the Word of God. We've got to rightly divide it. And you don't want to divide. You don't want to be divided from Psalms 91. You want to make that Psalms your song. Make it your song that you sing in the morning. And when you walk by the way. And when you lay down at night. Sing it to your children's children. Sing it to your grandkids. Make a song. Do like the Cockman family. Get you a banjo. Get you something. If you have to, tap your foot. Psalms 91:3. I'm going to try to speed up, but if we don't get done, we'll make it a series. How's that? 91:3 says, surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. I don't even like the way that sounds. Perilous pestilence. The American Heritage Dictionary defines snare as, one, a trap often consisting of a noose. I know what a noose is, and I know what a trap is. Them old Westerns, you stole horses back then. If you're a horse thief, they hang you up on a high tree. Number two, something, a snare, something that entangles the unwary. Abiding in the secret place of the Almighty will keep us, see, here's our defense, will keep us from being captured by the devil in one of his traps. It's an invisible trap. He's a spirit being, okay? Spirits cannot be seen with the physical eyes, but if the Lord opens your spiritual eyes, you can see into the spiritual realm. But God's wisdom, which is his word, Jesus is the manifold wisdom of God. When Jesus says do something, Jesus sees all, knows all, is in all, and he'll help you, prevent you from a fall. Amen? He wants to keep us out of the devil's trap, out of the devil's camp. The Amplified Bible and New NIV versions translate noisome pestilence as a deadly pestilence. I don't like that word either. I usually see that on Raid or all these things you buy, deadly, you know, it's potent stuff, boy, on contact. You know, when you go fight, you go hit that hornet, going after a hornet's nest, you don't want them suckers to be half alive. When you want that stuff to hit it, you want them to be dead, deader than a hammer. We want that hornet dead. I just stepped on one the other day. I got stung by one when I was about 7, 8 years old. I got stung 5 times before I could get out of the truck. See, the devil don't want to just knock you down and hurt you one time. He wants to keep stinging. He wants to keep stealing. He wants to keep bringing sickness, disease, poverty. You got to get out of his territory. You got to get out of his camp, and you got to stay in the and abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty. Because God is your defense. The Living Bible says a fatal plague. So dwelling in the secret place of the Most High will also keep us from plagues. The bubonic plague, swine flu. See, all these things are plagues. But they're not supposed to be in our house. Not even in our community. Not even close to us. That's what Psalms 91 is telling us. Verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers. I used to hunt a little bit. Remember those old, when they'd be real cold, you'd put those vests on that has the downy feather in there, boy, and that thing would get you warm, real keep you warm. See, this is what I think about God, those feathers. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Who is truth? What is truth? The word is truth. Then we could say in the New Testament, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus shall be your shield and buckler. You can translate that. Jesus, he's the captain of the, he's the captain. He's fighting for you with the words you use. See, he is the word, but it's got to come out of it. We abide in him and he abides in us. Whatsoever we shall say, it will come to pass. There's power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. This is a word picture of how a mother hen spreads her wings and protects her chicks. I got a couple chicks at the house. Got 2 chicks, 3 chicks, counting my wife. Protects them from rain, sun, hail, or whatever. Nothing can penetrate God's wings. If we abide under the Almighty's wings, we are safe. But if we walk out of the secret place, we get out from mama's wings. There's wolves out there that likes to get some ducklings. They're watching. They're in the woods. They don't want to get around mama when she got them because mama, that duck, she'll lay her life down. And I've seen geese attack, come after people. You get around their egg. That's an ugly looking thing. I wouldn't mess with it. But if we walk out of this secret place, we can't blame the Lord if we get wet, if we get sick, if we get robbed, if we go down a strange alley at night, we should be in bed asleep without God's permission. Go down there, we're getting out of the secret place. We're putting ourselves, we're tempting the Lord our God. Now, if he tells you to go somewhere, if he tells you to go to the other side of the lake and there's a storm coming, you're going to go through. But if he hasn't told you, if he has not authorized you to do this command, then you don't do it because it's not safe. You don't get on the plane. You don't get on the bus. You don't get on the train. Then you intercede and you pray for those that are getting on. Lord, protect them. See, your prayers make a difference. The prayers of the saints, an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, it's going to avail much. Evil exists, and our only refuge is under His wings, under His promises. Psalms 91:5. You shall not be afraid of terror by night. Are we dealing with a lot of terrorist acts in our nation, in this world? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. This is promising supernatural protection from trouble that many Christians and non-Christians don't believe is possible. They are correct if we don't believe the promises of God enough to say it. See, it's more than just believing it. It's more than just saying it. You got to believe what you say. Amen. That's how I got born again. I believed in my heart, and then I confessed to those that asked me. The hope that was in me, I said, I'm saved. I'm different. I'm not the man I used to be. I got saved. Jesus came into my life. You got to believe the promises of God enough to say it. Then it won't happen. That evil won't happen. But for those of us who will believe, receive, and say what God's Word says, we can thrive in all circumstances. All circumstances. I like not just survive, but we can thrive. You might be going through something, but you don't have to just, oh, dear Lord. No, you can thrive. In the midst of your trouble, you can be praying for somebody else. And they'll say, well, I thought you were going through something. That's right, I'm going through it. I'm going to help you get through your mess, and God's going to take care of my stuff. Amen. See, that's called getting rid of the flesh. Don't worry about what's going on with your body. If you need healing in your body, find somebody that's sick and pray for them. See, that's putting seed in the ground for your harvest. Notice what this verse doesn't say. It doesn't say there won't be any terror or errors. Terror by night's coming. It's out there. Evil's in the world. Until Jesus returns and closes this book, this dispensation, evil's here. It doesn't say we won't have any battles, but God's raising up some generals. He was raising up a Moses when His people were crying out. It takes time sometimes for people to listen to God and do what He told them to do. Let us not be those people that once He asks us, we say, well, was that you, God? How do you know it was God? You got to know His Word. If we don't know His Word, we're not going to do what He tells us to say because we don't know who is that. We got to know who He is. It doesn't say we won't have any battles. It's just promising us protection and victory in the midst of our battles. We need some Gideons out there. We need some Gideons to rise up and blow the trumpet. We need some Davids to come out. We need some men and women of God, some Dianas out there, some prophetesses to stand up and declare the word of the Lord. Verse 6, nor of the pestilence, we're not going to be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. That English word for pestilence was translated from the Hebrew word debar. This same word was translated maran in Exodus 9:3. This is speaking of some kind of plague. We can be protected from plagues. We can say we are protected from plagues. But you can't be watching Channel 9 News or CNN talking about all these different things coming and say, oh Lord, did you hear? No, you got to say, God, did you hear that? Then you got to say, no plague, it's not coming near my house. If you hear it, you need to counterattack it. Amen. Just go ahead and turn the channel, but make sure you go ahead and take authority over those words. Nope, not coming my way. I always say that when I go by CVS, it says the flu shots are now available. I'm like, thank you, Lord, but I don't need one this year. Flu's not coming my way. I shot that down. See, those are words. They're speaking. That sign is speaking to you. Sickness, pestilence, that's not in, you don't need to see that. You don't need to hear that. Psalms 91:7. It says, 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Sounds like a plague just come through. Knocking them out by thousands, hundreds. That's what plagues do. That's what the devil does if he can. He's seeking those weak ones out there. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking the weak, the ones that don't know who they are in Christ. And he'll take advantage of them as quick as he can. He's a coward. That's what terrorists do. They attack children and families unarmed. See, that's the devil. He's a coward. He's after the weak. You stand up against him, the Bible says he'll run in terror. And he'll flee you seven ways. If it comes against you one way, if you stand up and you declare your word, it says the enemy will flee you seven ways in terror. But sometimes our actions have got to be louder than our words. Our terrorists, these terrorist attacks, they need to be counter-reacted. You just can't love them with words. You can speak words of life to them, but there's a time you've got to stand, you've got to fight. God gives us promises. You've got to, David was a man of war. You've got to fight for what the devil's trying to come and steal. If the devil's coming to my house trying to steal something, he's going to get a fight. Sherry's going to take care of him, I tell you. Hey, I'm the man of the house, but she's tough, I tell you. She's tough. Amen, sister, you got it. I got your back. You need some help, I jump in there. Amen. Psalms 91:7. This is speaking of people all around us. Just picture today. Just think about the news last week, last month, 6 months ago. Around us, from plagues, from terrorist acts of evil. But a Christian, see, this is where we got to show them, hey, don't get in fear. Do you know about Jesus? You know about Psalms 91? This is how we live. But it will not come near us. Those of us who walk or dwell under the shadow of the Almighty and speak for faith in the promises of the Lord, in the promises of His Word. In the middle of all that, the Bible says, don't think about what you're going to say when all this happens. The Holy Ghost will give you what you need to say at that moment. And it'll be a word of boldness. You know, Elaine's prayed for boldness here, and she's been getting it. Amen. Attacks are going to come. Terror is going to come. It's not just against Elaine. The Bible says the devil comes immediately. He's trying to steal that word from you because he knows how powerful the seed is, the word of God. And if it starts growing in you, you're going to be stronger than Popeye with a can of spinach. Amen? Amen. And it's time, the church, you know, it's about time that we've stood it as long as we can't stand it no more. And it's time to start popping the spinach cans. That's right. And start taking it up and down Pluto, the devil. Amen? Get some muscles. Faith muscles. Psalms 91:8. I think this is going to be a second message. This is good. Because I think there's 16, right? And we just halfway there. Psalms 91:8. If Miss Howard thought about reading this psalm every morning, I think it's important. Yes. She is an impact in our life that got us where we needed to be. And she was probably in her 70s then. Her husband died. She was a widow. She never remarried. She stayed faithful to Jesus. She always sat on the front pew. You couldn't find her in the back, Maldy. Miss Howard, she'd be on the front pew. She just liked to be on the front. I don't know why. I'll ask her one day. But I always made sure she had a cup of water. And I always knew that was her cup because she wore red lipstick. So I was the usher back then. I was the head usher. I always make sure Miss Howard has a good cup of cold water. And she'd always thank me for it. But I always, when I left, I'm like, that's her cup. Look at that. Got red lipstick all over that cup. She left a mark. But her life left a mark in our lives because she called us. We didn't know where we were supposed to go. We knew that we had to be somewhere where we were going to be fed the Word of God. God had already showed us how important His Word was and the Spirit. But we were searching. We were asking. We were praying. God's going to ask you to do something when somebody else is praying. And we got a call from Miss Howard. And I believe, Sherry, was it you answered the phone or did I answer the phone? You remember what she said? You're a little bit more detailed. You want to share it? She just wanted to check, see how we were doing, because we were going to Wednesday night Bible study, but then we found a church in Mooresville, so we weren't going to Wednesday night Bible study anymore. And she hadn't seen us in a while. So she picked up the phone, but then we were in transitions. We were praying, asking for direction. And she called us and checked up on us and said, oh, yeah, I just wanted to let you know Jim's starting another church. So he had retired. But he started another church. God said he wasn't done with him yet. And we just wanted to let you know where he's going to be. And that was an answer to prayer. And then we went and hooked up with him, and never unhooked since. Now, he has officially retired. No, he hasn't. He's out. He's in the mountains this past weekend. And you know, I got a text from him. Can I read it? If I hadn't deleted it yet, I try not to delete the ones that really speak to me. I just told him to let him know he's already benefiting from the word supply. I said, because I'm supplying him with the word as he's going out ministering to other churches. And I told him his CDs are ready and in my office. And he said, thanks. In my morning prayers today, I was thanking the Lord for you and all the help you have been. And I just said, well, we're just getting started. I don't talk a lot. I don't text long. It's short. I'll probably call you if it's going to be longer than three sentences. But he says, something big is on the horizon. I was like, whoa, I like that. I said, I received that. And he spoke a word of prophecy over this church. He sees big things on the horizon. And I believe he hears from God. So we got to believe that. And then we got to say that and expect that. And then be ready to do that. Amen. Amen. As more people come in, there's going to be more things to do. But that's good. Amen. That's less the other people have to do, right? The more people you get, more people doing more things. Then the body comes in, stays in unity, it grows, and it gets stronger. See, where there's unity, there's strength. But when there's numbers, Terry talked about numbers, we don't look toward the numbers to get God's will, but we take those numbers, and when you get the numbers that you need, you get stronger, you get things done quicker. Yes. Amen? Jesus started with 12. He was content with 12. He didn't say, oh, Lord, can I have another 12? Can I have another dozen? Can I have another dozen? He said, no, I'll take the 12 you gave me. Because he trusted what God did, his father did. He trusted him. And he worked with what he had. Peter denied him three times. Jesus loved him three times. He restored him three times. See, Jesus knew the outcome. But he didn't tell Peter what the outcome was going to be. See, that's predestination. See, God knows everything in from the beginning. But he doesn't tell you what he doesn't tell me. Now, he revealed things to us, but he wants us to walk by faith. Believe him by faith. Amen? That's time. Sometimes a Christian will like, well, God, why didn't you tell me that? Should the clay talk to the Creator? That's what Job was saying. We got to trust God. Now, we got to know what's God and what's not God. We got to know the difference. If it's good, it's coming from God. The Bible talks about every good and every perfect gift comes down from the spirits above, from the Spirit above, from our Heavenly Father. If it's evil, if it's lust and all these other things of the flesh, that's coming from the evil one. That's coming from the world. Amen? So Psalms 91:8. All these things, all these plagues happening, but it's not coming near you, not coming near me. Because we're saying what Psalms 91 says. I'm dwelling underneath the shadow of the Almighty. I'm abiding in the Anointed One. I'm abiding in Jesus and what He's did for me. He is my provider. He is my protector. He is my shield. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. And my God will I trust. See, you're empowering the Holy Ghost to protect you. You're empowering angels to overshadow you. You go to God about what the enemy's doing to you. The Bible says God is the righteous judge of all the earth. And He is my avenger. There's some good movies out there, The Avengers. I like them too. Y'all seen them? We got Captain America. We got The Incredible Hulk. We got Iron Man. Well, we got Jesus Christ. He is the captain of the host of the army of God. He's our captain. He's our Captain America. America, you want a captain? That the church starts saying how Jesus, and He's for you, He's not against you. But we got to start saying what He says. Sin is sin. This is wrong. We want to do what's right. We want God. We want to invoke God in our nation, God in our courthouses, God in our schoolhouses. And that means just saying Jesus is Lord. Amen. And this ain't right. I believe what Jesus said. I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus. And he loves people. Loves them so much that he wants to tell them that's wrong. They came to Jesus. He healed them. He touched them. He cleansed them. But a lot of times he said, now go and sin no more. They knew. He didn't have to say what sin. They knew what sin. Amen. You don't have to go tell a sinner, you need to quit sinning. They know they're sinning. I know I'm sinning. You need to go tell them, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He bled for you. He rose for you. And he lives forevermore to pray for you, to intercede for you. Amen? That's the power of the gospel. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to stop there. We're halfway there. Amen? But 8 verses will get you a long way in the kingdom of God. I said 8 verses will get you a long way. 8 promises of God filled with power, covered by the blood of Jesus, will get you where you need to be, safely. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like I got supercharged this morning. Did you get supercharged? Some of you might have already been charged up. That's good. Come on in here, supercharged, and help us that maybe not so charged up. But God is for you. He's not against you. And we need this psalm. We need these words of promises in our age. Jesus said, when I come, am I going to find faith on the earth? He's talking about when he comes back. He's looking for faith. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, looking. They're looking for somebody that he can use, powerful, the words of faith. He's looking for people. All you got to say, Lord, don't look no further. Here I am. You put your hands up. You put your faith out there. He'll come and he will empower you, Cecil. And it doesn't take, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a theologian. Do not fear. We will not fear because God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word today, Lord. Father, your church, we need to hear this, Lord, that you are for us and not against us, Lord, that you have so purposed in your heart to set people free. Jesus came to set the captives free, Lord. And we thank you, Father God. We have the keys. Lord, the church has the keys of death, hell, and grave. We have authority over death, over terror, over sickness, over disease because of what Jesus has did. And he gave the church the keys, that authority, to be able to speak to sickness, speak to disease, speak to calamity, speak to pestilence, speak to terrorists, and tell them, you will not come on my land. You will not prosper in my land. You can only prosper if you come to meet my King Jesus. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We have those promises here in our community, Lord, that when we lay down at night, we go to sleep because you never sleep nor slumber. You watch over and you protect us. We have the peace of God that will rule in our lives. That's how we will rule and reign, by peace here on this earth. And, Father, we just call in those that are lost right now, Lord, that are in fear. There's kids out there, Father God, in fear. Fear of what's coming upon the earth. Lord, we pray right now for open doors of opportunity to lead them to Jesus. Lead them to you, Lord, and show them they don't have to be in fear. That they can come to the King of Kings and come to your table and dine anytime. Because your table, your door is always open. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.